Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the bright stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September. The month kicks off right away with a celestial event that few of you will get or got to see. It's an annular or ring eclipse of the sun on September 1st. The moon won't completely cover the sun. Instead, its silhouette will be encircled by brilliant sunlight. A ring of fire, as some say, for up to 3 minutes along a track that's 8,000 miles long, but at most only 60 miles wide. African countries along this narrow path include Gabon, Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Tanzania, Mozambique, and the island of Madagascar. No one in North or South America will see any of this, not even a partial eclipse. Oh well. Ask an astronomer about September's astronomical significance, and the answer you'll most likely get is the autumnal equinox. This marks the celestial end of summer and the beginning of autumn in the Northern Hemisphere. This year, September's equinox takes place on the 22nd at 10:21 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At that moment, the sun shines directly overhead as seen from the equator. Days and nights are both 12 hours long. That's where the word equinox comes from. And no matter where you live, the sun rises due east and sets due west. There's another celestial event associated with this equinox, and that's the harvest moon. Traditionally, it's the name assigned to the full moon that falls closest to the autumnal equinox. And in 2016, that falls on the night of September 16th. The harvest moon gets its name from a geometric oddity. Because the lunar orbit makes a shallow angle with respect to the eastern evening horizon at this time of year, the moon rises only about 30 minutes later on successive evenings, not the usual 50 minutes or so. So it never really gets dark between sunset and moonrise for several successive evenings, and that's a boon to farmers working late to try to harvest their crops at day's end. This particular full moon comes with a bonus. It undergoes a deep penumbral eclipse. That's astrospeak telling you that the moon will just graze the outer part of Earth's shadow, the penumbra. The only effect will be a dusky shading on the northern half of the lunar disk, rather than the moon going totally black or a deep blood red. But we Americans won't see any of that eclipse either, because it'll be seen best from Europe, Africa, and Asia. September begins with a new moon that's just entering the evening sky. On September 3rd, look for a super thin crescent very low in the west, just 20 minutes or so after sunset. You'll need a clear sky and an unobstructed view in that direction. If conditions are good, use the rounded crescent on the 3rd or 4th to point the way back toward the just-set sun. Along that line, very close to the horizon, you might spot bright Venus glowing in the twilight. More challenging to find is Jupiter, a little to the lower right of Venus. After the first week or so of September, you can kiss Jupiter goodbye for several weeks. It'll reappear in the morning sky before dawn by late October. But Venus is just starting a nice run in the evening sky that will continue into the first part of next year. As darkness falls, look for the planets Mars and Saturn in the southwest. For the past 2 months, they've been shuffling near the bright star Antares in Scorpius. During September, you'll find Saturn staying put not far above Antares. Note the color contrast between creamy white Saturn and the peachy hue of Antares, a red supergiant star. Mars, meanwhile, is making tracks. Watch it slide eastward, away from these two, and toward the teapot-shaped stars of Sagittarius. Mars looks roughly the same ruddy hue as Antares, but the similarity ends there. The red planet, which looks a little brighter, is only about 90 million miles away. But Antares is 535 light-years from us. Some 35 million times farther away. Second thing is that it's a little amusing that this star's name means rival of Ares, which is the Greek name for the god Mars, and yet here they are near each other in the sky. Once it's dark enough to spot Saturn, Mars, and Antares, look well to their right, over in the west, and you'll see a bright star well up in the sky. That's Arcturus. Right now, the sun sets almost directly below it. Now lift your gaze way up to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's relatively close as stars go, just 25 light-years away. When the gleam you're seeing right now left Vega, it was 1991, and George Bush Sr. was president. My, how time flies. Since Vega is right overhead at nightfall, let's use it to find a couple of nearby, compact, four-sided patterns. The first of these is about 1.5 times the width of your fist at arm's length to Vega's north. It's a compact trapezoid, with 2 modestly bright stars and 2 faint ones, about 3 outstretched fingers across. This is the head of Draco, the dragon, and its long line of stars snake from the head to form a curving line between the Big and Little Dippers. The second trapezoid is to the west of Vega. It's a quartet of stars that form a trapezoid bigger than Draco's, roughly the size of your fist, but a little dimmer. This is known as the keystone of the constellation Hercules, a great hero in Roman mythology whose muscular torso and legs are represented by stars splaying out from the corners. Look beyond the keystone toward west, a little more than one fist, to spot a lovely semicircle of stars called Corona Borealis, the northern crown. These 3 patterns might not be obvious if you have a lot of light pollution, but here's one that'll be unmistakable. Start at Vega and slide your gaze by about 2.5 fists eastward in the direction opposite Arcturus to a prominent star. That's Deneb. It's roughly 100 times farther away than Vega. Astronomers aren't exactly sure of its distance, but it's still quite the sparkler, isn't it? That's because Deneb is a real powerhouse of a star, pumping out at least 100,000 times more light than our sun does. Now look for a third bright star, called Altair, about 3 fists to the south of Vega and 4 from Deneb. Week by week, this trio of easy-to-spot stars, known collectively as the Summer Triangle, is gradually migrating westward in the sky. If you're lucky enough to live in a really dark location, far from city lights, you'll have no trouble seeing a delicately glowing river of light that we call the Milky Way vaulting high across the sky. That's the combined light of countless stars in our galaxy's midsection. As it turns out, some of its richest concentrations of stars are in the vicinity of Deneb. Can you see the faint glow up there? If you're not sure, try again closer to midnight when many lights have been shut off and Deneb itself is almost overhead. If you still can't see the star cloud, you can blame light pollution, which sadly has robbed most of us of the chance to see the Milky Way at all. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend some time with Cassiopeia and find out why she's so vain. Until then, I wish you clear skies.